Matthew chapter 24, I'll tell you the verse in just a moment. This chapter takes place after the Lord Jesus had, in chapter 23 of Matthew, very soundly renounced the Pharisees and the scribes for their sin and hypocrisy. And he told them very clearly where they had rejected him and what the consequences to them and to the nation of Israel would be because they had rejected Jesus for who he was. Jesus came to them and he proclaimed and revealed himself to them, told them who he was, that he was the promised Messiah that they had read about in their Old Testament scriptures, and they rejected him. And in that chapter 23, he talks about the judgment that is going to come upon the children of Israel for their rejection of him as their Messiah. Chapter 24 then describes what that judgment will entail. And he describes it very clearly to them. We're not going to look at that tonight. That's not going to be part of our study. I simply want to give you just a little bit of background of what is in chapter 24. As part of chapter 24, in his revealing to the children of Israel the judgment that would come upon them for their rejection of him, he encloses in there on three different occasions a warning. And he warns them that false prophets are going to come. And he describes some characteristics about them. Again, we're not going to look at that section tonight relative to the warnings of the false prophets who were to come. We'll resume that study in another time. But that is also in chapter 24. He gave them warnings. He spoke very clearly what to look for. And we will look at that on another occasion. Also in this chapter, the Lord Jesus makes comment and reference to who he is and why they should listen to him and why they should follow him. And we find that in verse number 35. Of Matthew 24, that we will look at. And we'll take a few minutes in examining that verse and what the Lord Jesus had to say to the children of Israel regarding the judgment that would come upon them. And in that message, he encloses this verse, number 35. He says this, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Don't you think that's a rather bold statement? If someone were to come along and make that statement to you, how would you respond? Well, you might say, well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, you're just human like the rest of us. We'll see. If you can make good your claim that your words will never pass away, and that somehow there is something about you and what you have to say is of such great importance that it will never pass away. Well, Jesus made that claim. He said, heaven and earth is going to disappear. That's not going to last. Oh, but what will last is what I say. The words that I say and what I speak, they will last for all eternity. Why should we believe him? Why should we believe this man who said, my words will never pass away? Why should I believe him? Why should you believe him? Why should anyone believe him? In fact, there are many in our day who don't believe him. And there have been millions down through the centuries of time who have rejected him, refused to believe him. My question for you tonight is this. Why should you believe him? Do you believe him? And if so, why? Well, I would suggest to you four reasons why you should believe Jesus. And why you should conform your life to what Jesus said. And why you should commit your life to him and trust him. Believe him. Cast your life upon him. I'll present to you four reasons why I think you should. The first one is this. The claims that Jesus made. Jesus made many claims as part of his ministry when he traversed the earth in human flesh like you and me, ate like you and I eat, slept like you and I sleep, got weary like you and I get weary. And as part of that time on earth when he lived here, he made many claims. One of the claims that he made was this. The words that I speak, the deeds that I do, I don't do of myself. It's the Father in me who does them. Now, you can look that one up. That's in John chapter 14, where he made that claim. The words that I speak, they're not my words. Now, what Jesus was saying by that, he says, I'm not saying something of my own initiative. I'm not saying things that I have conjured up out in the desert someplace and came here and gave you this message and said these things to you of my own ideas and thoughts. That's what he's saying. Those weren't my thoughts. These things that I am saying to you and these miracles and these deeds that I perform, they're not mine. I do them because there is someone within me who is giving me the words to say and the power to do the things that I do that's not me. It's God. God is doing them. So his claim was one of divine authority. I didn't come on my own. The Father sent me. The words that I speak, they're his words. He's the one who gave me the message to give to you. The things that I do when I heal someone, when I touch someone, when I calm the sea, when I speak, it's God who's doing that through me. I'm just the vessel. I'm just the human personality through whom he is doing it. He spoke and he acted on divine authority, not on his own. Why should I believe Jesus? Why should I follow him? First reason is because he spoke and behaved with divine authority, the very authority of God himself. They say, oh, that's an easy claim to make. Many people make that claim. There are a lot of people who have come down the road and said, I'm Jesus. I'm the Messiah. I'm Christ. So why should we believe that Jesus, as recorded in the Bible, as compared to those Jesuses who have come down the road? I'm glad you asked. Because the Bible gives to us some reason why we should believe this Jesus and not those Jesuses. There are three witnesses who witnessed to the fact that Jesus was who he said he was. The first witness was John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist himself was the result of a miraculous birth, not a sinless birth like the Lord Jesus, but nonetheless a miraculous birth. And he was the one that God chose to be the forerunner, the one who went ahead of Jesus and prepared the way for Jesus who was to come after him. They were cousins. So John knew Jesus from a young age. He knew Mary. He knew Joseph. And Jesus knew John. And John the Baptist went ahead of Jesus and said, there's somebody coming after me who's far greater than I. Now, John the Baptist himself was a very great preacher. He spoke to multitudes, and the peoples came out to hear him and to observe him, and he was a great prophet. Multitudes followed him and listened to him, but he stood up and said, "There's someone coming after me who's greater than I am. Listen to him. Follow him. Worship him. In fact, he is so great, I am not even worthy to tie his shoes." And there came a day when the Lord Jesus came to John, who was baptizing. That was one of the parts of his ministry. He baptized people in the River Jordan, and wherever there were people that needed to be baptized, he was baptizing people. And one day, he was baptizing people, and here came Jesus. And Jesus came to John the Baptist and said, "It's time for me to be baptized." And John said, "Hey, wait a minute. You know, I know who you are. I need to be baptized of you." And Jesus said, "No, I want to be baptized because I want to fulfill all righteousness. I don't want anybody to be able to say that I didn't fulfill the law and obey the law. So therefore, I want you to baptize me." John baptized him. When Jesus and John were coming up out of the water after having been baptized, John describes what happened on that occasion. He said the heavens opened and a dove came down from heaven and lighted upon Jesus. You say, "Wow, big deal." Well, here's the big deal. When God called John the Baptist to go ahead of Jesus, he gave a sign to John the Baptist by which he would know that he had selected the right one. And he told John, "And here's the sign that you'll know. When you see the heavens opened and a dove descending down from heaven and lighting upon him, you'll know that's the one." That's the big deal. The confirmation of the sign that God gave to John the Baptist of who Jesus was fully confirmed and completed. John saw it, and John reaffirmed the fact that that was the Messiah. And shortly thereafter, when the crowds were around him, Jesus was in the midst. John, seeing Jesus in the crowd, pointed at him out and said, "There's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Follow him. He must increase, I must decrease." So there's the first witness that there was that Jesus was who he claimed to be. There's the second witness, and that's the voice of God. Haven't there been occasions in your life when you just wished, "Boy, you know, if God would just speak from heaven. If I could just hear His voice. A time of dilemma. A time of distress. A time of indecision. Boy, if God would just bellow out from heaven so that I would know." Haven't you wished for that? I have. I'm sure many of you have as well. On three different occasions, God did that to Jesus. And there were other people around who heard that voice as well. And that voice from heaven said, "This is my Son. Hear him." One of those times was at the baptism of Jesus. After the dove came down from heaven and descended upon him, it says that there was a voice from heaven that spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." There was a second occasion when Jesus was preaching And in the midst of his preaching, I want you to see this one. It's in John chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Keep your finger in Matthew 24 if you want to. But turn to John chapter 12, verse number 28. Jesus is preaching. And in the midst of his sermon, he says this in verse number 28, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." Why did God speak from heaven? He wanted those people there to know who Jesus was. "Jesus is my son. Listen to him. Follow him. Obey him." And then there was a third occasion when God spoke from heaven. There was a time when Jesus took three of his close disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he took them up onto a mountain. And up on top of that mountain, he was transfigured. His appearance was changed from that of a mere mortal into something that was beyond what would be normal appearance. Glorious and spectacular in its appearance. And God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And those three disciples that were with him heard that voice. And in fact, if you read in 1 Peter chapter 1 or chapter 2, Peter makes reference to the fact that he heard that voice on the mountain. So why should we listen to Jesus? Why should we follow him? Why should we obey his words? Why should we think in any way, shape, or form that those words are going to be lasting for all eternity and something to which I should conform my life? Because God confirmed who he was. There were witnesses. And God worked through those witnesses to confirm that Jesus wasn't just a mere man. Jesus wasn't just a good man. Jesus wasn't just a prophet. He was who he claimed to be, the divine Son of God in human flesh. And God confirmed that with witnesses. Third reason why we should listen to Jesus and follow him, as there is another witness other than these three. And that's the Scriptures. The Scriptures. Who's the subject of the Bible? Jesus. Who does the Bible prophesy will come? Jesus. Whom do the pictures and symbols of the Old Testament reveal? Jesus. Whom did the prophets desire to see with all their hearts and minds? Jesus. They never saw him. But the Bible tells us they longed to see Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus. They prophesied about this one who was to come and they wanted to see him, but they never saw him. That's the Old Testament. The New Testament. Who is the main figure of the New Testament? Jesus. The first four books of the New Testament we call the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What is the subject of those four books? Jesus. Who do they describe for us? Jesus. Whose words do they record? Jesus. Whose deeds do they describe? Jesus. And then after those first four books come the other books of the New Testament. And what do those books describe for us? How to follow Jesus. What Jesus taught and what it means, a further explanation of what Jesus taught and what He said. My friends, Jesus Himself said to the scribes and the Pharisees, He said, you know, He said, you read in the Scriptures and you read them because you think in the Scriptures there's life in them. So, oh, there's more than life in them. He said, those Scriptures talk about Me. And on more than one occasion, the Lord Jesus made reference back and He quoted parts of the Old Testament that referred to Him and explained them to people and described what they meant. One of those grand occasions is recorded in Luke chapter 24 on the day of the resurrection. That day is coming up not too many days hence from today, when we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. On that day, when He arose from the grave, the Scriptures record for us how He suddenly appeared to two men who were walking from Jerusalem to their hometown of Emmaus, which was what they call a Sabbath day's journey away from Jerusalem, just a short distance away. And all of a sudden, Jesus joins them. Out of nowhere, He joins them. And He's walking with them. And they are having a conversation together. And He says, well, what are you talking about, guys? Isn't that kind of what we do? When we join in with some people or we come down to a game night or a party night or a meal and we sit down and say, hey, what's going on? You know, what you talking about? What happened today? Well, that's what He did. He heard them talking and He said, well, what are you talking about? And so they described to Him. He says, are you a stranger? They said to Jesus, are you a stranger in these parts and you don't know what happened over the weekend? No, what happened? Oh, man, there was this man, Jesus. We thought He was the one. We thought He was the prophet. We thought He was the Messiah. But you know what they did? They took Him and they killed Him. They crucified Him. They hung Him on a cross. And then they buried Him. And today's the third day since then. You haven't heard? Jesus said to them, oh, you fools, you're slow to believe what the Scriptures have said. Ought not Jesus to have suffered like He did and to raise again on the third day according to the Scriptures? New Testament wasn't written then. He's referring to the Old Testament. And then it says, and as they walked along, Jesus talked to them and told them all of the things from the Scriptures that were speaking about Him and the events that happened that weekend. Who's the Bible talk about? Jesus. Talk about Jesus. What's the third reason why I ought to believe and follow Jesus and listen to Him? Because the Word of God that God has preserved for us through many years and through many attempts to destroy it, it still stands as the number one seller in all of the world. Why? Because it's God's Word. Who's it talk about? Jesus. That's the third reason why I ought to listen to Him. Because God's Word tells me about Him. Describes Him. Reveals to me who He is. Both before He came and after He came. That's the third reason. There's a fourth reason why you should believe Jesus. And that's in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. I hope you won't hold it against me for very long, for doing something that is, perhaps from a human standpoint, not fair and not right. I got a package of grapes here beside me. And I'm going to do something that you're not supposed to do, and that's eat in front of somebody. That's not good manners, is it, Alice?
Well,
you'll let me do it? Yes. You'll let me do it? Okay, I'm going to do what you're not supposed to do, and that's to eat in front of somebody. I love grapes. That's so juicy. And it tastes so good. John chapter 7, verse number 14, we read this. In the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. The Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never learned?" In other words, how can this guy Jesus say what he says, and he never went to seminary? He never studied under the great theologians of our day. He didn't go to the temple and study. How can he say the things that he's saying? Jesus said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Now that's making reference to a point I made a few moments ago. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're not my imagination. God has given them to me. Now here's the verse I want you to see. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. I have a question for you. How did that grape taste? You don't know, do you?
No.
No, you don't know. How are you going to know whether it was delicious and sweet and good to the taste? How are you going to know? Unless I give you one. Unless you eat the grape, you won't know how it tastes, will you? No, you won't. Neither will you know fully and completely that Jesus is who he says he is unless you taste him. It's the only way you'll know. Jesus said, "Taste of me and see that I am good." Fourth reason why you should believe and trust Jesus is because you have tasted him and you know. You know. It isn't because Tom Hill told you. It isn't because someone else told you. It isn't because your spouse told you. It isn't because somebody famous on television told you. It isn't because of any of those reasons. It's because you do what Jesus said right here. If any man will do his will, he shall know that what I say is from God and not from man. How are you going to know? How are you going to know? The only way you will know is if you take of one of the grapes and chew it for yourself. It's the only way you'll know. The only way you will know is if you call upon Christ yourself. Trust Him. Believe His Word. Take Him at His Word. Jesus, you said this. You said that if I come unto you, I'll find rest. I'm coming to you, I want rest. Jesus, you said that if I call upon you, you'll forgive me. I'm trusting you. I'm going to call upon you, and I'm trusting you to forgive me, and you'll find He forgives you. Why should you believe Jesus? Oh, I've given you three very good reasons why you should believe Jesus. The fourth reason is one that only you can trust. And that's for you to taste of Jesus Himself. And see, He is exactly who He said He was. Because He has promised here. He has promised here. He has said, if you will do it, if you will obey me, if you will follow me, if you will worship me, if you will trust me, you will find out that my words are not those from man, they're of God. Do you trust Him? Have you trusted Him? Have you come to Christ and taken Him at His Word? If you have, then you know He is who He said He is. You know. People around you will say, Tom, you're an idiot. You are a fool for following that religious nonsense. You don't. Oh, but I know. I don't care what they say. I know. Why? Because I've tasted. I've trusted Him. I've obeyed His word. And I find out that what He said is true. Some of you here have done that as well, haven't you? Yeah, you have. If you're here, if you're listening to this message, this study, and you haven't yet trusted Him, then you really don't know. You think you know. You are assured in certain respects that it's true and what you know about Jesus is true. But my friend, you won't really know until you trust Him. Then you will really know that Jesus is who He said He is. And then you will be able to trust Him yet further and obey Him yet more. And in those difficulties of life, you will have someone on whom you can lean because He said, lean upon Me. And you will lean upon Him and you will find that, in fact, He is the comforter that He said He would be. And you will find that He will provide for you the strength that He said He would provide for you if you will come to Him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes, who He said He is. And the final evidence is for you to trust Him. I call upon you to trust Him. Trust Him. Call upon Him. Come to Him. Obey Him. Follow Him. Serve Him. You'll find Him to be who He said He is. The very Son of God in human flesh. The Savior of sinners. The Lord of all creation. Worthy of our worship. Let's close. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your obedience to the Father and in Your love for us to take upon Yourself human flesh. And in so doing, as living upon this earth, to prove who You were. And I thank You that in my life You have proven Yourself through personal experience to be who You said You were. And You have promised in Your word to do that for all who trust You. That's what we just read. And I pray for my friends here tonight and those who will listen to this study through other means and at other times. You would bring them to trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Find Him to be who He said He is. And Father, I will give You the glory, the honor and the praise for what You accomplish through the work and ministry of Your Son, the Lord Jesus, and through Your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.